WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Tuesday morning at 6. Welcome aboard. Glad you're here for our first look at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, a mass shooting leaves 10 people dead. More in 1 minute.
And a Democrat shatters Biden's border crisis media blackout. Let's talk about it next on Good Morning Orlando.
6:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. The city of Boulder, Colorado is reeling after a mass shooting at a grocery store yesterday afternoon.
We know of 10 fatalities at the scene, including one of our Boulder PD officers by the name of Eric Talley.
Police Chief Maris Harold said the 51-year-old was one of the first to respond to the shooting at the King Supers store. The chief cheered the actions of responding officers.
Not only from Boulder PD, but from across the county and other parts of this region. Police officers' actions fell nothing short of being heroic.
The suspected shooter is in custody. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Floridians 50 and older can now get vaccinated against COVID-19. Governor Ron DeSantis says before opening up vaccinations to everybody, it's important to make sure the most vulnerable residents have gotten a shot.
The hospitalizations and the mortality is concentrated in elderly people. So as you go further down the age, the risk goes down much lower. So that's why we're doing the age-based approach.
DeSantis expects that vaccinations will be opened up to all Florida adults well before May 1st. A fourth vaccine may soon be coming to the U.S. It's already being used in dozens of other countries.
Phase 3 trial results are in from AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine, and Dr. Anthony Fauci says the U.S. trial involved 30,000 participants.
78.9% vaccine efficacy at preventing symptomatic disease. Importantly, that with regard to severe or critical disease requiring hospitalization, there was zero in the vaccine arm.
While there were concerns in Europe about this vaccine and blood clots, Fauci said the trial showed no evidence of deep vein thrombosis with trial participants. AstraZeneca has not yet sought emergency use authorization from the FDA. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Speaking in Florida, Vice President Kamala Harris says the goal at the border is to move detained children into the care of Health and Human Services. While visiting Jacksonville yesterday, Harris said the administration is dealing with a very challenging situation left by the previous administration. Anthony Polite scored a game-high 22 points, including 4 3-pointers, to help 4-seed Florida State cruise past 5th-seeded Colorado 71-53 in the second round of the NCAA tournament's East region. The game was tied at 1 point, but head coach Leonard Hamilton says the Seminoles did a good job standing their ground.
So we had to be locked in, not fire, contest shots, and that took a tremendous effort and a high level of concentration by our team, and that's why I was so proud. The fact that they continue to keep executing even when they cut the lead right down to 1 point.
FSU moves on to play top-seeded Michigan in the Sweet 16. WFLA News Time is 6:05. More than 60% of Americans report undesired weight change during the pandemic. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLAOrlando. The first hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
I can confirm that, Alan. It's tough as heck to fight the battle of the bulge during the pandemic when, you know, there are so many things that make it hard to be as active as you're used to being. And I guess I have a lot of company in that regard.
Yeah, the movement is limited, and so you're not burning up the calories you normally would.
Call it the quarantine 15.
I think they said 2 pounds a month or something like that, I think.
People are gaining weight at an astounding rate. I mean, I've been able to kind of hold the line, but it's not been easy to do, I'll tell you that. Hey, if the Gators can't make the Sweet 16 and the March Madness, I guess we need to be happy that the Seminoles made it. Florida's represented, and boy, that was impressive last night once they finally figured out Colorado, huh?
Yeah, it was, as I said, tight at one point. I think got down to 1 point, the difference, but they wound up winning by 18, 71-53. Yeah. And the Seminoles move on to play a very tough team in the Sweet 16, Michigan.
Coming up this weekend, Sunday, I believe. We're going to get into the border crisis. Kamala Harris in Jacksonville was asked if she was going to go to the border, and she started laughing, and she said, today? No, I'm not today, but yeah, I'll get there sometime along the way. Well, I've got to tell you, it looks like the Biden administration has lost complete control of the southern border. We're going to get into it, and the cover on the horrible situation in which largely these kids are being held. The media blackout has been blown by a Democrat member of Congress who I'm sure is going to be in the White House woodshed for the rest of his life. But at any rate, we'll get to that and a whole lot more border related. And a little later in the show, we're going to welcome Dr. Ken Kronhaus here. All kinds of new developments on the coronavirus front. And we're going to talk it all over with him. Alan and I will be interviewing Dr. K at 8 o'clock. I know you'll want to be here for that. He has a lot to say, as always. And he's always up on what's going on, all things health and medical. And in between now and then, Alan, an opportunity for folks to double their stimulus money.
Yeah, our new contest resumes 1 hour from now, the WFLA Double Your Stimulus Contest, with our latest keyword. Be listening right after the 7 o'clock news for that keyword. Text it to 200-200. You could be winning $1,400. Yes, $1,400, doubling your stimulus. Now, 6:07 on Good Morning Orlando.
Headlines out of Miami, more spring break mayhem there in Miami Beach. A woman dead, a couple of suspects behind bars. Cops say Ivoire Collier and Dorian Taylor drugged the 24-year-old woman visiting from Pennsylvania, raped her, and left her for dead. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Democrats turning on Democrats. We got the Democrats turning on Governor Cuomo up in New York. They want him out as much as the Republicans do. And now on the southern border, we have a Democrat congressman by the name of a Democrat from Texas, whose district is down near the border, finally making available what the Biden administration has not allowed the media to show us, and that is the horrible overcrowding and conditions that people, primarily youngsters, are being held in as they stream across the border from Central America and Mexico. Have you seen these pictures? I mean, you look at it and you wonder what you're looking at sometimes in these pens. But all of a sudden, there's these. This looks like aluminum foil covering something. It looks like a long shot of a frozen food section or something. But these are people under aluminum blankets lying on the floor, and the ones who are standing up are packed in, you know, like it's a meat locker, for crying out loud. No social distancing at all, far beyond capacity. And Henry Cuellar is the Democrat congressman, and he just decided to provide these photos he got from some source to Axios.com that put them out there for everybody to see. And it had Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, dancing all over the place in yesterday's briefing, getting into it with Fox News reporter Peter Ducey. Here's a little of that.
We're closely following the CDC guidelines. That's why we're opening up additional facilities, why they've been at limited capacity in a number of these shelters.
But if I may, I don't know that there are CDC guidelines that say you can be open.
I was misunderstanding your question. Yes. Look, I think our objective is to move. This is one of the reasons this is such a focus every single day for the president and this administration. We want to move these kids as quickly as possible through these facilities and into the shelters where there is safe spacing, and then move them into homes where there is safe spacing. And we are concerned about the public health impact. That's why we're putting in place a number of policies to expedite these processes.
None of which are working, Jen. None of which are working. Democrat Congressman Cuellar from Texas saying we have to stop kids and families from making the dangerous trek across Mexico to come into the United States. We have to work with Mexico and Central American countries to have them apply for asylum in their own countries. And Trump is taking a look at the big picture. It's a terrible situation with these kids. Your hearts go out to them. But Trump's really looking at the whole border situation, and he weighed in yesterday, too.
You have a lot of very bad people coming into our country, and they're doing nothing about it. They're going to be released, or they're already being released. Yesterday, they announced that they're just going to let them go into the country. No courts, no nothing. It's crazy.
I want to play a cut from you from the opening of Tucker Carlson's show on Fox at 8 o'clock last night, because if you didn't catch it, I thought it was a tremendously strong segment on what the border situation is and where the Biden-led Democrat Party is taking us, and where, if this goes unchecked and there is no sign that they have any ability or any inclination to check this flow of immigrants across our border, illegals into the United States. Because ultimately they want to turn them into citizens, and they want to turn them into Democrat voters and render the Republican Party permanently non-competitive and a minority political party. That's the long-term strategy here. You know it's true. Now listen to this from Tucker Carlson about where we are headed unless this insanity is stopped.
Just last month, U.S. Customs and Border Protection apprehended 100,000 illegal migrants in California, New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas. But some DHS officials believe that number will soon double to 200,000 a month moving illegally into this country. Now, the overwhelming majority of these foreign nationals will remain here permanently. If the Democratic Party has its way, they will become citizens and registered voters. These numbers are enormous. It's hard to comprehend just how big. We've never seen demographic change like this. It's roughly the equivalent of a brand new city of Chicago every year, a city populated entirely by poor people with limited education who can't speak English. Now, you're not supposed to say any of that, but so what? It's true. And the question is, how is it good for America?
It's not good for America. Tucker is absolutely right. Can you imagine that? Adding a population the size of Chicago every year with illegal aliens who barely, if at all, speak English, have absolutely no money and no prior connection to this country. How is that good for America? This is a magnet Biden turned on during the campaign saying, this is who we are. We're a compassionate people. People are struggling in other countries. Let them come. Now he's saying, don't come now. But the message is out there, and there is no turning this off. Nor, as I said before, do the Democrats have any reason to, they think, in terms of what the long-term goals are. Getting them all in here, turning them into citizens, turning them into permanent Democrat votes. But I think this whole thing's going to blow up on them, because I think, except for the left wing of the Democrat Party, this is not where Americans across the political spectrum want this country to go. What do you think? And how do you think this is going to play out for the Democrats, short and long term? Let's have a conversation. That's what we're here for on the 50,000-watt front porch. Love to talk with you at 407-916-5400. And the text line open at 23680. First name in town if you'd like. Standard message and data rates apply. In a moment, back to Biden's border crisis and where all of this is headed. After we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines: the travel industry is calling on the White House to put together plans for reopening global travel. The coalition asked for a roadmap by the 1st of May to rescind international travel restrictions and reopen this summer. Stay tuned for updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories for you on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
So, Melissa, the Democrats, Joe Biden and company, thought that they could keep the lid on what's really going on the southern border in these holding facilities until Democrat Congressman from Texas, Henry Cuellar, said, "I'm sorry, I don't care about party. We've got to let people see what the situation is here." And those pictures are disturbing. They are disturbing. And the Biden administration is really in a mess here, and a mess of their own making.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't look much different than it did any other pictures we've seen in any other administration. I mean, let's be honest about it. They're bringing their kids here or sending their children here because they're in such crappy situations in their own country. What are we supposed to do? I mean, seriously, what are we supposed to do? Biden opened the border, said, "Come on in, it's an open door policy, blah, blah, blah."
Well, that's the problem. The headlong rush to undo everything that had a Trump label on it.
But he
and
didn't.
All the border policies, and they have done it, and
no,
this is what you get when you do that.
They actually haven't. I just sent you an article, LA Times, saying he's using the Title 42 that Trump put in together, but only on one side. He's saying, handle it on the Mexican side. And, and not on our side. It's a both side deal, okay? But he is, in a way, still using the Title 42 that, that Trump put out there.
Whatever is happening, whatever is being used or not used, the situation is a big mess. And I think the only thing for the president to do is to say, hey, we screwed up, and this is what we're going to do to fix it.
Really? So then when you say that, aren't you essentially saying the issue I raised yesterday, Alan, that Trump had the thing pretty well figured out? And, he was all for legal immigration, but no illegal immigration. And he had policies that turned off the magnet that attracted people here. There's only one way to get into this country, is to go through the legal system. You just can't break into the country and flood the border. But then Biden started sending out signals during the campaign. And then when he was elected and throughout that period toward the inauguration, he kept on talking about undoing the border policies. And they got the word down there and said, it's hell down here in Central America. Now's the time. And here they are.
Yeah, and we saw this surge start to begin in the fall of last year. Probably the last 4 months of the Trump administration, the surge had begun. And, it may have been promulgated by the Biden promises. And, I just think they have to say, hey, whatever we're doing, it's not working. Here's what we're going to do to fix it. Just admit
it. Would you say go back to the Trump policies?
Perhaps.
Is that the answer?
Nope. I think we need to arm our border and say, get the heck away until we say you can come in legally.
No. Well, we had a wall,
Yeah.
The wall was going to get this done for us, and they stopped that on day one of the Biden administration.
Mexico's not paying for it, so
right. We
couldn't go on with it.
I don't know if you've ever seen the
area. What do
the
texters have to say on all of this with the border situation?
Hey,
what do we see?
Hey, Alan, you're a defender of all things Democrat. What's your take? Well, he just gave us the take.
I did.
Okay. Our southern border is literally being invaded, and Republican wimps like Trump and Bud still say violence isn't the answer.
What?
Let's see. We've had
Republican, wait a minute. Republican wimps like who and who?
Trump and Bud still say violence isn't the answer. I'm just reading the text. You know the deal.
Trump's a wimp. I'm a wimp. Maybe. Trump's a wimp. Never.
What do they want? People to.
What is this?
They want
what
to start shooting
about?
People?
What are they? What are you talking about out there? Are you serious about this?
I think it said our southern border is literally being invaded, and Republican wimps like Trump and Bud still say violence isn't the answer. I think it's pretty clear.
Wow. Mm. Okay. Thank you.
I'm just reading what they text in. You know the deal.
Here's a news update with Alan.
A spring break tragedy in Miami Beach and a new attraction in Daytona Beach. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes. It is 6:28 on Good Morning Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. We're glad you're with us on a Tuesday morning. We're going to get you up to date right now as we turn it over to my co-host, Alan Spector, and we continue to keep you connected to what's going on with spring break in Miami Beach. And this is a very serious story.
It is, Bud. A spring break tragedy leaves a woman dead with two suspects behind bars in Miami Beach. Al Lewis reports.
A 24-year-old woman is dead, allegedly at the hands of spring breakers Ivor Collier and Dorian Taylor. Police say the pair drugged a 24-year-old woman visiting from Pennsylvania, raped her, and left her for dead. Paramedics found her semi-nude body in a South Beach hotel room. Cops say the suspects went on a spending spree with the victim's credit card, and prosecutors could add a manslaughter or murder charge against the suspects if the investigation determines the drug they're accused of giving the victim turns out to have played a role in her death. Al Lewis, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Three Polk County deputies are exchanging their badges for handcuffs in an evidence tampering scandal. Sheriff Grady Judd says last December they stopped a car and found drugs and more than $700 in cash, but did not turn in the money.
All they had to do was go to their sergeant and say, "We lost the money, we dropped the money, whatever."
The sheriff found out when a suspect asked for her money back. Now he's reviewing all cases involving money handled by former deputies John Rosinski, Jamal Lawson, and Garrett Cook. You might soon be able to buy alcohol in Brevard County, no matter the time of day. Today, the county commission will discuss a proposal to allow bars and restaurants to sell alcohol 24 hours a day in unincorporated Brevard. Daytona Beach is home to a huge new convenience store and gas station. Bucky's, home of the Beaver Nuggets, is located at I-95 and LPGA Boulevard. Governor Ron DeSantis was on hand for the grand opening and, standing in front of a giant inflatable beaver, said he's a huge fan of Bucky's.
"This is really exciting to be here. I must say, I got to tell you, Bucky's, this is like the Shangri-La of service stations."
This is Florida's second Bucky's. The first location opened last month in St. Augustine. NASA's preparing to make history by flying a helicopter on Mars. It was tucked away on the Perseverance rover that landed on the red planet last month. NASA will give an update later this morning to outline where the helicopter could possibly explore. WFLA News Time is 6:35. You don't have to miss anything on Good Morning Orlando. Get caught up with our podcasts on the iHeartRadio app.
Straight ahead here, we'll tell you about a former White House doctor sounding the alarm on President Biden's health. And Dr. Fauci stars in a new children's book with his name on it. Will you buy it or not? Let's talk as we continue on a Tuesday morning. Right now, a quick update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Headlines: you may soon be able to buy alcohol in Brevard County, no matter the time of day or night. Today, the county commission in Brevard is going to discuss a proposal to allow bars and restaurants to sell alcohol 24 hours a day in unincorporated Brevard County. Stay tuned for updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, News Radio WFLA Orlando, and still on AM 540.
Can't imagine how uptight they are at the Biden White House about their commitment to put him out there for his first solo press conference this Thursday afternoon. He's gone longer than any president in at least 100 years since taking office without facing reporters in that traditional forum. Because they're trying to hide him, because they realize as well as we do, and it's blatantly obvious to anybody with half a brain, that Joe Biden is on his way to maybe having half a brain. He's clearly sliding into senility. Dementia's got some problems. There seems to be a physical aspect of it as well. I mean, how in the world do you explain him falling three times trying to go up the steps to Air Force One last week? And him wandering around on the tarmac, not really sure whether he was supposed to go to the Marine chopper when he got off the plane, and having to rely on Secret Service and Vice President Harris maybe soon to be President Harris under the 25th Amendment, to finally guide him and direct him. You know, and the constant misspeaks, etc., the slurring of words. It has caught the attention of a former White House doctor who served three presidents, Bush 43, Obama, and Trump. We're now talking about a congressman from Texas, Republican Ronnie Jackson. Remember him? He tweets, "I served as White House physician under three presidents. I have seen what it takes physically and mentally to do the job. And I can tell you right now that the way Biden is hiding from the public is a major red flag. Something is not right." That's from Ronnie Jackson.
Isn't that crazy? I found that article. I was like, oh my goodness. If this guy says he's not right, I mean, after having that history with the other presidents, including Trump and Obama, come on.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be something on Thursday afternoon. Suddenly a presidential press conference is going to be high theater. You know, what happens if he crashes and burns? How well can they manage that on Thursday afternoon? By prearranging softball questions from selected reporters?
Yep.
And stepping around the likes of Peter Ducey from Fox News and some of the other conservative outlets?
You think Jim Acosta will be there? You think Jim Acosta will be there? Remember, he was like the thorn in Trump's side for so long and took
He doesn't have that beat anymore for
CNN.
That's
too bad, because I would really like to see how he handled Biden. You know what I mean? He was so awful to Trump, to the point where he wasn't even being a news person. It was literally just, you know, scandalous. But I would love to see him in there with Biden. That's a shame. Someone get on the phone.
I'm telling you, it's serious. It's serious. Hey, oh, by the way, Dr. Fauci has a new children's book that's coming out. Simon & Schuster's putting out a book for kids about Dr. Fauci. I'll tell you what we know about it, and then my question is, are you going to buy it for your kids or grandkids or not? 407-916-5400, text line 23680, either topic. The Fauci book, about which we'll have more in a moment, or the White House doctor to three presidents across party lines, Ronnie Jackson, saying something is not right with President Biden. 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Let's talk. A children's book about Dr. Fauci. Are you buying? Tell you what I know in a moment, right after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Headlining the big story that Alan will have more on at the top of the hour in the news update, heavy hearts in Colorado, where police are trying to piece together a grocery store mass shooting that killed 10 people. That included one of their own, the suspect now in jail. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories for you on Good Morning Orlando.
Lose your news radio station? Never fear. We're still here. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
I know some of you don't like Dr. Fauci, to say the very least. The only time I have a problem with Dr. Fauci, who has been this country's leading infectious disease expert, serving seven presidents, been around forever, he's 80 years old, is when he goes beyond his area of expertise or backtracks on things that he has said. Do I think fundamentally he's a good doctor and a good man? Yeah, I do. And do I think as such that he'll have a very popular, good, maybe best-selling book here? I think absolutely. I think this is going to sell. And it's going to be entitled, Dr. Fauci, How a Boy from Brooklyn Became America's Doctor. Simon & Schuster is going to put it out there, and it's going to be available late June here. And they did a bunch of interviews with him here, and it tells the whole story of his life and the immigrant history of his family. And it offers Dr. Fauci's tips for future scientists. And the folks at Simon & Schuster say, the author says, we're hopeful that curious kids who read this book, those that we're counting on to solve tomorrow's scientific challenges, will see themselves in the pages of Dr. Fauci's story and set their goals just as high. And it's got illustrations kind of cartoon-like of Dr. Fauci. Is this going to be a winner on the bookshelves when it comes out in June, guys? What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if it is. Again, it's aimed at younger people. Right. And, you know, I think even though Dr. Fauci is not the most popular person with people who listen to our show, he is, I think he does enjoy popularity across the country. And I think a book like that would have a good chance of selling.
Honestly, I don't think kids should be taught to idolize lunatics.
What is the number?
Statistic lunatics. I am so tired of stats. And Fauci has never seen a patient. Is that true? He's just more like a glorified pharmacist.
I don't know. Is he? I don't know. Has he never seen a patient? I don't know.
If we read the book, we'll find out, Melissa.
Maybe, but I'm not going to read the book. Do you think Elmo is mad that Fauci's cutting into his children's book market?
Elmo?
Elmo wears a mask just like this. Elmo wants to be a hero, too.
Is Elmo killing it in the book market? I did not know that.
Oh, yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm already buying Paul McCartney's book for kids. I don't know if I have enough budget left over for Fauci's book.
Chris, did you say we got a caller on the line?
Yes, we have Len from Oviedo on Dr. Fauci's
book. Welcome
aboard,
Len. Good morning on the Fauci book. You buying?
Well, if they hold me down and put a gun to my head, I might spend $10.
Well, that's the selling. That's the marketing plan, Len.
Here's the problem.
They grab Len and they hold him down and put a gun to his head, and that's how we sell the Fauci book.
You got to make $10 somehow.
That's it. Well, here's the problem. The problem is how long has Simon & Schuster been around? Probably since the days of Christ, right? Now, it's like somebody saying, I'm going on the Ed Sullivan Show. I wonder if we're going to make it big.
Oh.
There's your answer. That's your answer. When somebody invests in publishing a book like Simon & Schuster, bet on it.
Wait a minute. Ed Sullivan is no longer on the air?
Oh, that's...
When did this happen?
He did it at one point, and that was the way it worked. Look at anybody who went on there. They got very popular. This guy's going through Simon & Schuster. That book's a hit. I can't imagine what it says, but it's a hit. Think about it.
We'll see. Thanks, Len.
You know, from what I hear, boss, the new Fauci kids book describes Fauci more like that annoying motormouth neighbor who got confused as Kevin in the Home Alone movies. Remember him? Got confused at him. Maybe there should have been a Fauci book when you give a nerd
a
cookie.
I like the old guy in Home Alone. They finally got together. He was a good guy. He wasn't so scary.
Right, but at first he was. I think they should have named this when you give a nerd a cookie, don't you think, instead of flip-flop Fauci? Oh, that's not what it's named. I'm sorry.
You're a big fan, obviously, Melissa.
No, I'm just messing around.
A texter says, Dr. Mm-hmm. Seuss. Now they're going to promote Dr. Fauci's book. No way would I buy that book under any circumstances.
By the way, Dr. Seuss has not been canceled. You can still buy plenty of his books.
I was going to say, Seuss, actually, those people that put it out canceled some of their books.
Yeah.
No one canceled themselves.
There was no campaign to cancel the books.
No, it was self-editing.
Not part of the cancel culture.
Well, what they were doing was they were trying to take off the market, and they did, I think, 6 of the books from a long time ago that had some stereotypes, they said.
Right.
They being Dr. Seuss's people, not anyone, government or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Another texter saying, the Fauci book will sell. It'll sell as many copies as Andrew Cuomo's nutty book sold.
And anyway, there's one that says, if a parakeet I had one, I wouldn't line the bottom of my cage with it. Boop.
Yeah, where's the Andrew Cuomo kids book? That should be coming out soon, right?
Yeah, it says it right here. It will sell as many copies as Andrew Cuomo's nutty book sold. Mm.
Alan, you're the news guy. We expect you to be on top of these things. Let us know if the Cuomo kids book is imminent.
Again, your expectations have been dashed. I do what I can, you know? A mass shooting leaves 10 people dead in Colorado, and the Seminoles advance to the Sweet 16. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes, 6:59 on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Top of the morning to you here on a Tuesday at 7 as we update once again Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540 and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, 10 people are dead after a mass shooting in Colorado. More in 1 minute.
And we'll talk about the truth about Florida hate crimes and young punks disrespecting our cops in this half hour of Good Morning Orlando.
7:03 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Police in Boulder, Colorado are vowing to work day and night to find out why 10 people lost their lives in a shooting at a King's Super grocery store. Police Chief Maris Harold says the first officer to respond was among the victims.
Phone calls of shots fired in the area and a phone call about a possible person with a patrol rifle. Officer Talley responded to the scene, was the first on the scene, and he was fatally shot.
Officer Eric Talley is being remembered as a hero. His body was saluted last night during a procession to a funeral home. Boulder County District Attorney Michael Daugherty talked about the other victims.
These were people going about their day, doing their food shopping, and their lives were cut abruptly and tragically short by the shooter, who is now in custody.
And Daugherty's promising to bring justice to the victims' families. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Florida's minimum age to be vaccinated against COVID-19 is now 50, but those under 50 should stand by.
Our order is 50 and above. I do think the goal was to have all adults by May 1st. I think we're going to be able to get there way before May 1st. So if you're in your 20s, 30s, just understand this is going to happen very soon.
Governor Ron DeSantis says 70% of Florida's seniors have now been vaccinated against the coronavirus. The decision to vaccinate those as young as 40 at the Orange County Convention Center is proving to be a popular one. On day one, it took less than 15 minutes for all 7,000 appointments to be booked. The White House press secretary is promising that the Biden administration will soon have an update addressing the caravans of migrants that continue to flood the U.S.-Mexico border. Fox's Kevin Cork has more.
An update in the coming days and perhaps an opportunity to finally explain to the world why the administration, at least so far, seems unable to slow the massive influx of illegal migration. New pictures detailing conditions there are beginning to emerge, despite the White House's refusal to allow press access to the many facilities housing thousands, including one such facility, which is said to have about 400 people in a space meant for 260, about which the White House claims to be, quote, closely following the CDC guidelines.
The administration continues to call the situation at the border a challenge, while Republicans and some Democrats refer to it as a crisis. Florida State is advancing to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA men's basketball tournament after beating Colorado 71-53 last night. The Seminoles next face Michigan. Just before tip-off, the Buffaloes learned of the deadly mass shooting in their home state. Colorado guard McKinley Wright said it puts things in perspective.
You know, people get so caught up, and even us as players, and playing this game, and it's a privilege to play this game, but we have to realize that life outside of basketball is real. And, you know, a lot of people lost family members today.
Wright said, all I could think about was some coward went in and shot up a King's Super. WFLA News Time is 7:07. You can order COVID testing kits using DoorDash. Find out how online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The second hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app, now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Butt-heading around, Inspector Melissa Fox, Chris Vasquez with you for another 2 hours. Lots to get to. In the 8 o'clock hour, Alan and I will talk with Dr. Ken Gronhouse on a host of recent and some brand new developments on the coronavirus front, and he'll have a lot to say at 8 o'clock, so be with us for that. In a moment, we dip into the Florida file, and it is loaded, and there are a couple of things we need to talk about, and I can't wait to get your take on. And our number is 407-916-5400, our text line 23680. Add your first name in town if you'd like. Standard message and data rates apply. But the moment is upon us. It's time to double your stimulus money.
That's right, Bud. The WFLA Double Your Stimulus Contest resumes now. We're about to announce the latest keyword in our texting contest. You text that keyword to 200-200. You could be the winner of $1,400. Yes, doubling your stimulus. Remember to watch for a call from area code 513. That could be us telling you that you're the winner. It's 7:08 on Good Morning Orlando.
Central Florida headlines now. Three Polk County deputies have since resigned and are now facing charges after allegedly mishandling evidence from an arrest in December. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd says the deputies took over $700 cash from the suspect, but the money never made it to the evidence locker and it remains unaccounted for. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeartRadio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Time to dive together into the Florida file, and our first entry is a search for the truth about Asian American hate crimes. In the wake of the spa murders up in Atlanta last week, the media has leapfrogged to the conclusion that this was another of the many, many, many hate crimes against Asian Americans. But is it? The suspect, who survived and is now in custody, claims it had nothing to do when he went in and just opened fire at these spas with race. It had to do with his sex addiction, and he saw these places as locations that need to be eliminated so it would reduce his temptation to succumb to his sex addiction. We don't know exactly what the truth is with this guy. He's a killer, and hopefully he will get his just reward for that. But here's the reality that most of the media is suppressing. Yes, six Asian American people were killed, women, but two of the ones who were killed were white, and another one who was wounded and will survive was Latino. So this was not an attempt to wipe out as many Asian Americans as possible. Now, the media is running with the idea, and you see it on all of our local newscasts right now, all of these stories about the problems we have in Florida and elsewhere around the country with Asian American hate crimes, or hate crimes directed at Asian Americans. And then they hang it on Trump, saying ever since he mentioned and kept on calling the coronavirus, COVID-19, the China virus that has spiked it, right, Melissa? And it may have led to some increase. And we're absolutely not defending, you know, anything it has to do with hate crimes against Asian Americans or anybody. But Melissa, I took a look at the Florida statistics here, crime statistics gathered, to find out just how prevalent crimes are against Asian Americans. And this is what we're going to expose right now, just so you understand. Any one of these hate crimes, any one of them is too many. There's no question about that. But listen to this. Florida crime stats for the year 2019, the last full year for which we have complete crime statistics from law enforcement agencies statewide. 1,122 murders in Florida in 2019. Same year, rapes, 8,456. Robberies, 16,217. Assaults in Florida in 2019, 55,975. Hate crimes statewide in Florida in 2019. How many? 111 total. 111 total. One is too many, but that is the reality. And of the 111, 48%, nearly half, were driven by anti-black hatred. 16% were driven by an anti-white bias. 14% of the 111 hate crimes in Florida in the calendar year of 2019 were directed at Hispanics. The Asian American total is not even listed, but let's just drop it down and say it's definitely lower than 14%, because that's the lowest number, and that's against Hispanics. So let's take it down to 10%. So if it's 10% of the 111 hate crimes are against Asian Americans in the entire state of Florida in 2019, with a population of about 21 million, you're now down to 11 hate crimes. All I want to do here is to put this in perspective. Surprised you, didn't I? There's more in the Florida file coming up. If you want to comment on that, 407-916-5400, text line 23680. You got to be careful when the media gets on a rampage like this. It's easy to get sucked in and to lose perspective on where the truth lies. Back into the Florida file in a moment for a couple of stories that are really bugging the bud man. Has to do with young punks disrespecting cops. In a moment, after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines, if you haven't gotten your stimulus check from the feds, more are on the way. The IRS says a new batch of $1,400 payments will hit bank accounts by tomorrow. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
So, hate crimes against any group are abhorrent. Asian Americans, that's where the focus is in the wake of the spa massacre up in Atlanta. And everybody's running with stories about Asian American directed hate crimes running rampant. I just gave you the stats here in Florida that belie that. To Bill in a moment, but first of all, the Fox.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, Bud, it concerns me because I am not sure how we went from accepting our uniqueness and differences to now I have to be a homogeneous, woke, SJW, BLM, anti-racist, socialist, not communist, feminist, vegan, alt-left, alt-right, conspiracy theory, QAnon hating, deep state finding, racist, bigoted, non-binary, binary, non-patriarchal, blah, 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 anarchist, God-fearing atheist. Really? What happened?
You're making my head explode.
I know. It's what happened. All of a sudden, it's not cool to be unique. I'm sorry, but I've been my own person since day one. I'm not stopping. And let me tell you what. This Asian deal here, it is no more active hate crimes against Asians than it ever was. Matter of fact, and I have a lot of Asian friends, Asian people rarely are getting attacked by anyone. It's one of the least crime-involved races as both victims or perpetrators. So this is just a bunch of gunk. And that kid in Atlanta, or outside Atlanta, he was worrying about temptation, evangelical, sure. Christian stuff, yeah. Not Asian hate. He was trying to remove temptation from his life. That's
what he claims. We'll see ultimately. But you have to understand that, there were a couple of white people killed and a Latino wounded. I mean, if he was targeting Asian Americans, wouldn't he have been more selective, as awful as it is? Mm. Here is Bill weighing in from Longwood on this. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What do you think?
Hello.
What do you think, my boy?
Oh, real quick. Hey, Melissa, you kind of stole my thunder there. It just seems like everybody's looking for significance, and that this is how they're now identifying with themselves, And then the other point I wanted to make, too, is that, in my late 20s, early 30s, I dated a lot of ladies who were, in the news business, so to speak, at local television stations and whatnot. And it's a jaded business, and you guys know this.
I was a part of it for a long time.
Yeah, it's a machine. And anything that's controversial, anything that's going to rile people up, that's the first thing they're going to go with. So that's my two cents.
Hey, you know what? I think China might be behind this. Just saying. Dropping the theory about Asian hate. A couple of weeks ago, before all this happened, there was a message about stopping Asian hate on Tinder. Not because I'm on Tinder, but because I know about it. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is prior to this incident happening. It's sort of like a narrative being pushed out there.
Latest. I can't hear Alan. Is Alan talking to us, or is he practicing his news at 7:30?
Well, he was talking.
I see his lips moving on Zoom. I'm not sure whether he's trying to say something or not.
Hi.
Hi, Alan. Were you rehearsing, or were you saying something, but you were on mute? I can't tell what's happening here.
I haven't touched anything here. I was talking.
And I have no memory of what I was going to say at this point. So,
oh, no.
Never mind.
Tell you what, I don't have any more time to get into the rest of the Florida file and these two stories from either one of our coaches on coasts on the beaches of young punks disrespecting cops. We're going to put up with that, and we're going to bring that story to you tomorrow. All right, Alan, your turn.
All right, is this thing on?
Yes.
One, two, three, four.
Oh, checking.
Sibilance.
Sibilance.
Three Central Florida lawmen are in hot water, and the governor appears in front of a giant beaver. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. Bottom of the 7 o'clock hour on a Tuesday. The Budman turning it over to my co-host, Alan Spector, for a news update. And Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd is not happy. And when Grady's not happy, nobody nearby is happy either, right, Alan?
That is correct, Bud. Three of Grady's deputies are facing charges of evidence tampering. Gordon Bird has the story.
Polk Sheriff Grady Judd says those deputies stopped a driver on December 21st in Winter Haven, confiscating drugs and cash. After a day off, they realized the $723 hadn't been placed into evidence.
What the three of them talk about on the 23rd is, uh-oh, the money's missing.
Judd says the three deputies engaged in a cover-up and were found out when the arrestee asked for her money back. They all resigned, and the sheriff is reviewing any cases of theirs involving evidence.
Gordon Bird, News Radio WFLA Orlando.
This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Two men from North Carolina are accused of drugging, raping, and robbing a woman before leaving her to die in a hotel room in Miami Beach over spring break. The suspects allegedly gave a 24-year-old Pennsylvania woman Percocet before going back to her hotel room where they raped her before stealing cash, her credit cards, and her phone. The travel industry is calling on the White House to put together plans for reopening global travel. The coalition asked for a roadmap by May 1st to rescind international travel restrictions and reopen this summer. Governor Ron DeSantis calls it the Shangri-La of service stations.
What better place to stop than here, where you can literally have anything that you want, really, in addition to filling up your tank.
The governor spoke in front of a giant inflatable beaver as he helped celebrate the grand opening of Buc-ee's in Daytona Beach. The huge convenience store is located at I-95 and LPGA Boulevard and boasts more than 100 gas pumps. And one of the biggest tennis tournaments in the world is underway at the home of the Miami Dolphins and Miami Hurricanes.
Women's first-round action begins today at the Miami Open, with the men getting into the swing of things tomorrow. It will be a tournament like none other in South Florida. Players are in a tennis bubble, staying in one of two hotels, and must be quarantined in their rooms until their COVID test results are in. No more than 1,000 fans will be allowed onto the Hard Rock Stadium campus per session, with seating reserved. The center court inside the stadium has also been eliminated. Last year's tournament was canceled because of COVID. Erica Rodriguez, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
WFLA News Time is 7:34. Elsewhere. An NCAA March Madness bracket from back in 2012 is hitting the auction block. Former President Barack Obama filled out the bracket on a 63-by-36-inch whiteboard with ESPN for a segment called Barackitology. Obama thought North Carolina would win the tournament, but Kentucky ended up taking home the trophy. Bidding begins today with the starting bid for the bracket, autographed by the former president, at $10,000.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. I just heard that for this March Madness, all the brackets are wrong. I mean, everyone that was entered, I think, doesn't ESPN do something on that, Chris? I mean, huge number, and nobody has it right, and we're only to the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if Warren Buffett still does his billion-dollar bracket challenge anymore, but I know he did it for a few years. My championship pick is out. Kansas lost last night to USC, so I'm done.
Yeah, Buffett's offer was for anyone who got it perfectly right all the way through.
That's I think it takes just as much skill to get it all perfectly wrong.
Yeah, as I mentioned the other day, you know, I don't think skill is the answer here. You can use all the logic you want, but there are so many upsets in the tournament. And, you know, basically, it's very much a level playing field.
you know, even when you go from the top seeds down to the mid seeds and in some cases down to the bottom seeds.
Yeah, our friend Mike Bianchi at our sister station, 96.9 The Game, wrote a great column in the Sentinel about this. And he was talking about how these schools that are used, these small schools that don't have, you know, these big basketball machines, like an Oral Roberts, for example, that took down the Gators and all this, they play before 2,000 fans. And now they're basically small crowds because of COVID restrictions. And it's a level playing field. None of these big schools have the big crowds all cheering for them and driving the other team mad.
That's an excellent point. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. I do agree that crowds make a huge difference.
I think they don't. These kids are playing better ball because there is no crowd.
That's what I'm saying. Crowds make a huge difference.
You do. No, okay, then.
Yeah. Mike Bianchi has done it again.
What?
This episode of Elsewhere is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away. A new Pepsi Cola flavor is hitting store shelves. What's the flavor?
Mango!
Yeah, it's mango. Pepsi's first new permanent flavored cola in 5 years will be available in 12 packs of 12-ounce cans and 20-ounce bottles. Pepsi Mango also comes in a zero-sugar variety. Pepsi's promoting the new product launch with a matchmaking social media series in April to help singles find a partner so Pepsi Mango lovers won't have to drink alone.
I love mango. I'm going to give it a try.
And finally.
Wow, that is some fizz, yo.
I'll tell you what. Are you
it's
done
going right
yet?
On my nose here.
Wow, the bubbles tickle.
That had to be the 20-ounce Pepsi mango.
Yeah, that's right. It looks like a 2-liter.
And finally, Captain Kirk is celebrating a major milestone.
To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life. And new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Actor William Shatner had a birthday yesterday. Does anybody know how old William Shatner is now?
Me?
Yeah.
90?
90
Yay!
Is correct.
Yeah.
Cheater.
I love Bill.
He won Emmys for his portrayal of the character Denny Crane, both as a guest on the TV series The Practice and as a regular character on the TV series Boston Public. He starred in several other TV series, but in the hearts and minds of fans the world over, William Shatner will forever be linked to his iconic portrayal of Captain James T. Kirk on NBC's Star Trek from 1966 to 1969. And forevermore in syndication. He also starred, of course, in several Star Trek movies.
T.J. Hooker.
T.J. Hooker, yeah.
That's right. And some commercials in recent years, too. That
Priceline.
Priceline was
one. The Priceline commercials.
Now he's doing a CPAP cleaner or something.
They finally killed him off, I think, in the Priceline commercials. Yeah. Yeah, he is terrific, and he's still going strong. He sounds great.
Yep.
Happy birthday, Will.
Happy birthday, Captain Kirk. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com and listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector.
Who will be back with more Elsewhere in 1 hour. Rory O'Neill, our good friend and News Radio WFLA national correspondent, standing by with lots of news and the coronavirus update. And stay tuned after that as we have another Best of Rush morning update on this half hour of Good Morning Orlando. We roll on right now with an update for you on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. We are glad you're with us on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Local headlines for you right now. The decision to vaccinate those as young as 40 years of age at the Orange County Convention Center proving to be a popular one on day one yesterday. The appointment portal went live at 9 o'clock in the morning, and in less than 15 minutes, all 7,000 slots were booked. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, News Radio WFLA Orlando, and still on AM 540.
Uh-oh. I think I just stole some thunder from Rory O'Neill in the opening of the coronavirus update with that headline here in a moment. Apologies in advance, but I know you have a lot more to talk about this morning, and a good Tuesday morning to you, Rory.
part. But yes, Orange County did allow more people over the age of 40 to register for the vaccine at the Orange County Convention Center. As you said, all those appointments snatched up within an hour's time. I got mine at 9:40. I don't know why all this stuff about 9:13, but they're all snatched up now, and they're hoping
How did they handle that with the lowdown? I mean, was it a nice, smooth operation?
I haven't gotten the shot yet. I just went online, appointment. No, that's all right.
I understand. That's right. That's right. You had to get the appointments. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, but I got my appointment. Click, click, click. Easy peasy. So hopefully they're going to open that up more as we move forward in the calendar. Mine isn't for another 2 weeks. So
I understand.
As we get later.
But you're
going
to get it done. And I know you popped me a note on that yesterday, and I'm really glad you are. What else do you have in the way of good news, Florida vaccine related this morning?
Well, we've also got that AstraZeneca vaccine. We're seeing some new conflicting reports just coming out as we speak about the AstraZeneca vaccine. We saw there might be some questions about the data that was being used, but this morning on Good Morning America, Dr. Fauci saying that was an unforced error is what he's calling it. He says it's still a very effective vaccine, 79% effective at preventing symptomatic COVID, 100% at keeping you out of the hospital if you get it.
We'll get some more perspective on that as Dr. Ken Kronhaus joins us on a host of coronavirus-related matters. Alan and I will be talking with him at 10 after 8, gang. You want to be here. He has a lot to say. Right now, we continue with Rory and news from the CDC director that's a little bit ominous.
Yeah, Rochelle Walensky, the new head of the CDC, I should say Dr. Walensky, she says the U.S. could experience what she calls an avoidable surge. She's afraid we're relaxing all these restrictions just a little bit too quickly as more variants emerge. She says this would be an unforced error as well. Still, she's asking for people to social distance, wear masks, wash their hands, because more of these variant cases are popping up, particularly in Florida.
I wonder if we're seeing a little of that trend she's concerned about here in Florida now, because cases, new ones that have been on the decline, not so much right now, huh?
No, that's right. So the numbers have been all working in the right direction. Over the 7-day average was about 4,500 cases. But before that, it was 4,400 cases. So maybe things are plateauing. We had some deep declines, but it looks like the numbers show things may just be leveling off. Well, hopefully that's not turning around and going in the wrong direction.
One thing we're seeing are more of these variants and more of them in Florida, right, Rory?
Yeah, at least 1,000 known cases of coronavirus variants diagnosed in Florida. That's more than any other state. Now, what's interesting is we don't test for the variants very often. So to get 1,000 means there are a lot more cases that are out there. They had long suspected that that UK variant would be the predominant strain in Florida by the end of March. So we might still be on the route for that. And they're also monitoring that variant, the P1, as seen from Brazil.
Now, let's look at the big picture here for the United States in conclusion here this morning. What kind of trends are we seeing in cases?
Yeah, we saw the numbers peak in January, then come crashing down, and now it looks like they're leveling off and maybe inching upwards again. As of Sunday, the 7-day average for new cases nationally rose by 5% in more than 27 states. Across the U.S., the nation logged an average of 54,000 new cases per day over the past week. That's a 1% rise from the prior week, again, after things had been going in the right direction.
All right, that'll do it. Rory O'Neill, our News Radio WFLA national correspondent on the coronavirus beat with the update every morning at 7:45. Thank you, Rory. Catch you tomorrow.
Thanks, bud.
You bet.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Great to have you with us on the 50,000-watt front porch here on a Tuesday at 8 as we update once again Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540 and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, a mass shooting leaves 10 people dead. More in 1 minute.
And on all things coronavirus, Dr. Kronhaus joins us live moments from now on Good Morning Orlando.
8:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. The city of Boulder, Colorado is reeling after a mass shooting at a grocery store yesterday afternoon.
We know of 10 fatalities at the scene, including one of our Boulder PD officers by the name of Eric Talley.
Police Chief Maris Harold said the 51-year-old Talley was one of the first to respond to the shooting at the King Supers store. The chief cheered the actions of responding officers.
Not only from Boulder PD, but from across the county and other parts of this region. Police officers' actions fell nothing short of being heroic.
The suspected shooter is in custody. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Floridians 50 and older can now get vaccinated against COVID-19. Governor Ron DeSantis says before opening up vaccinations to everybody, it's important to make sure the most vulnerable residents have gotten a shot.
The hospitalizations and the mortality is concentrated in elderly people. So as you go further down the age, the risk goes down much lower. So that's why we're doing the age-based approach.
DeSantis expects that vaccinations will be opened up to all Florida adults well before May 1st. A fourth vaccine may soon be coming to the U.S. It's already being used in dozens of other countries.
Phase 3 trial results are in from AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine, and Dr. Anthony Fauci says the U.S. trial involved 30,000 participants.
78.9% vaccine efficacy at preventing symptomatic disease. Importantly, that with regard to severe or critical disease requiring hospitalization, there was zero in the vaccine arm.
While there were concerns in Europe about this vaccine and blood clots, Fauci said the trial showed no evidence of deep vein thrombosis with trial participants. AstraZeneca has not yet sought emergency use authorization from the FDA. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Speaking in Florida, Vice President Kamala Harris says the goal at the border is to move detained children into the care of Health and Human Services. While visiting Jacksonville yesterday, Harris said they're dealing with what she called a very challenging situation left by the previous administration. Anthony Polite scored a game-high 22 points, including 4 three-pointers, to help 4-seed Florida State cruise past 5th-seeded Colorado 71-53 in the second round of the NCAA tournament's East Region. The game was tight at one point, but head coach Leonard Hamilton says the Seminoles did a good job of standing their ground.
So we had to be locked in, not fire, contest shots, and that took a tremendous effort and a high level of concentration by our team, and that's why I was so proud. The fact that they continue to keep executing even when they cut the lead right down to 1 point.
FSU moves on to play top-seeded Michigan in the Sweet 16. WFLA News time is 8:05. A street corner bubble bath in Florida touts conserving water by going vegan. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
You know, there's just so much coronavirus-related news out there, and it is changing all the time. It's been a while since we brought in our go-to guy, or certainly one of our top go-to guys on all things health and medicine, our good friend Dr. Ken Kronhaus, who always stays up on this. Cardiology is his specialist, but he's a researcher. That's who he is, and he knows what's going on no matter what it is when it has to do with health and medicine. And we are going to talk with him, Alan and I are, in just a moment. We want to clear as much time as we can for that. So we are going to step lively and get into a break and then bring on the good doctor with the questions we have. And I know you'll want to hear what Dr. K has to say.
It happens right after an update of Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Headlines right now on COVID-19. There is a new way for you to find out if you might be sick with a coronavirus without ever having to leave home. DoorDash is going beyond food to deliver COVID tests on the same day you order them. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
resplendent in his white coat and striding resolutely onto the 50,000-watt front porch to talk with Alan and the Budman right now, our health and medical expert, Dr. Ken Kronhaus. Good Tuesday morning, Doc. Thanks for making time for our listeners.
Hi, Bud. Hi, Alan. Great to be with you.
Hey, Doc. I knew sooner or later somebody in a white coat would come to get us.
Let's talk about all the vaccines. The new one from AstraZeneca, how safe is it? What are your latest thoughts on all the vaccines that are now out there and available or soon will be? And I'm interested also, I think, and our listeners are, I hope, on the level of protection they offer and the length of protection they offer.
Sure, let me get the crystal ball out, Bud. Big picture right now, approved by the FDA for use in America are three vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, used by the mRNA technology, this relatively new technology to make a vaccine, and then Johnson & Johnson. AstraZeneca is out there. They've applied for FDA approval. They've announced their effectiveness at 79% just yesterday, but the FDA has yet to approve it. So let's talk about the three that are approved, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And the key is that they went through their phase three trial, that big 40,000-plus trial for safety and effectiveness at different times. So it's hard to compare an apple to an apple when people will quote the Pfizer's 95% effective, the Moderna's 94% effective, Johnson & Johnson, let's throw out a number, 74% effective in America. But the problem is these studies were done at different time frames with different amount of illness out there in the population, with different variants out there of the virus in the population. So you can't really compare these numbers. The bottom line is what we're trying to prevent is death and hospitalization. That's severe disease, death and hospitalization. And all three vaccines have shown that once you get fully vaccinated, that's 2 weeks after the second Pfizer, 2 weeks after the Moderna, and a month after Johnson & Johnson, you're good, and you're not going to die, you're not going to get hospitalized, and that's what the bottom line is. So if any one of these three vaccines are available to you, I would take it.
Well, how long is the protection? Do we really know that?
No one knows, bottom line.
Wow. All right.
We're following it. The people who were in the original phase three trials for these vaccines are still being studied. Every 3 months, they go in, they get their blood checked to see if they have antibody. We don't yet know. The good news is for the variants, although somewhat less effective of preventing any illness, they're still keeping people out of the hospital. They're still keeping people alive. And whether we're all going to need a booster is yet to be known. But so far, so good.
What we do know, Dr. Ken Kronhaus, is that the coronavirus numbers relatively low recently in Florida and in much of the U.S., but we're seeing cases up in Europe. Why is that, and what do we need to do to make sure that doesn't happen here?
All in one word, vaccination. If you look in the big picture, so far about a third of American adults have been vaccinated. About a third of American adults have gotten COVID-19. That's a lot of adults. That's about two-thirds of the population. Once we get to about 80% total, we're at herd immunity. I'd like to see us get to 90% total between having been gotten the original illness and getting vaccinated. But that's a lot of people, and we're doing, as a country, much better than most of the rest of the world. And the reason why the rest of the world is having new waves is because they're not getting vaccinated.
So what's your message, then, to the folks who are out there for a variety of reasons? They are resisting getting vaccinated for COVID-19. Speak to them.
I can't give out medical advice, but I can tell you what I've done. I'm about 11 weeks out from my second vaccine. I got the Pfizer when that was the only option. When I got my email saying that I was eligible, it took me about 5 minutes to make a decision. Personally, I'm more afraid of the virus than I am the vaccine. I have cried watching people die in intensive care. Death from COVID-19 is horrible. 3 to 4 weeks in the hospital dying alone with no family, no friends. It's horrible. Head to toe, this affects you. It's just a horrible way to go. And we're going to talk about the long term. We now know that significant numbers of people, the long haulers, are getting effects. Even people in good health with minimal disease, a fair amount of them are getting these long haul symptoms, which we'll talk about. So to have an illness affect me forever because I didn't die, to die from this, I was so much more afraid of the virus than the vaccine. The vaccine doesn't hurt. When I got mine, I didn't even know I had the needle puncture my arm. I had one day afterwards with both vaccines where I didn't feel great. I took an easy day, did nothing, a lazy day. By 2 days afterwards, I was fine. I was back in the gym. And you want a little bit of a reaction. You know your immune system is taking effect. I'd be so much more weary of even driving on I-4 than I would of the vaccines for myself. If you have ever had anaphylaxis reaction, talk to an allergist. Talk to your own doctor about what to do. But realize, I just realized that I'm not only doing this for myself. I'm doing this because I care about my friends and family. Mm-hmm. The only way we're going to get rid of this virus is by getting rid of the homes for this virus. Viruses can't live. The COVID-19 virus cannot live without a human host. Once we get rid of enough human hosts, then the virus goes away. The only way we're going to get rid of enough human hosts is if enough of us get the disease, which I hope they don't, because we now know about long haulers and deaths, or if we get vaccinated, and then our own bodies will make antibodies against the virus, and the virus will have no home. That's how we're going to get back to our lives.
Yeah.
So this is a team effort. We have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew when I was getting vaccinated, I wasn't doing it just for myself. I was doing it for everybody. And I hope that everybody has that outlook, that they're doing it for their friends, they're doing it for their families,
right,
as well as themselves. If they have any doubts, just talk to your doctor about it.
Yeah, we're talking to Dr. Ken Kronhaus, our doctor here on Good Morning Orlando.
Headlines updating coronavirus stats in the heart of Central Florida. Orange County, 118,710 cases, 1,169 deaths. Osceola, 38,082 on the cases, 473 fatalities. Seminole County, 28,842 in the number of cases, and we've lost 449 people in Seminole. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
And we're joined this morning by Dr. Ken Kronhaus, one of our go-to guys when it comes to medical questions, talking about the coronavirus. And, Doc, you mentioned a few minutes ago the long haulers, those who've survived COVID-19 but are having terrible, long-lasting symptoms they just can't shake. What is causing this? What does the virus do to people's brains, hearts, etc.?
It sets off a strong inflammatory reaction from head to toe. The Journal of Nature Medicine, medical journal this week, describes the potential long-term effects of the coronavirus on the entire body, including the lungs, heart, kidneys, and skin, as well as the GI, neurologic, and endocrine system. So it affects you from head to toe. Most common symptoms of long-term COVID-19, Alan, include fatigue, shortness of breath, brain fog, loss of sense of smell or taste, anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress disorder. The way we treat it, it currently looks like rehab. Physical therapy, speech therapy, dietary therapy, breathing exercise, and working with experts, including mental health providers. There's some early studies that show the COVID-19 vaccine may actually help, but more research here is needed to see if it's just a placebo effect.
Doctor, we know why certain people are afflicted with the long haul and some aren't?
We don't. About a third of people hospitalized have it, but also a significant amount of people who have minimal disease. And a lot of younger people, in some studies, the average age is about 41 in these clinics.
Hmm.
Another thing that has come up in the news this week, Doc, is the CDC has changed the guidelines for social distancing in our schools, knocking down the familiar number of 6 feet of separation from the next person to 3 feet. Is that sound silence, or are they just doing it to make it easier for some of these states to open their schools that have been closed?
It sounds science. Who came up with the number 6 feet? Nobody has any idea, but 3 feet is based on good science. And the little caveat is, because we know that the virus now is spread mostly through people exhaling air strongly. So if you're going to be in the school where people are singing or are talking loudly, exhaling a lot of air, then stay 6 feet away. But with normal sounding voices, 3 feet is fine.
Yeah, Doc, both Bud and I are now fully vaccinated against the coronavirus. We both got both of the doses of the Pfizer vaccine. What does that mean for us and others who are fully vaccinated? What is it safe to do now?
Well, I wish the CDC was putting more positive reinforcement, and I urge them to announce on a weekly basis what you can start doing, because this will change as we get closer to herd immunity. But the only thing that they're now saying we can do safely for fully vaccinated against COVID-19 people are that they can safely gather indoors in small groups without wearing masks or social distancing. That's the only benefit they're putting out there, but I hope the CDC puts out more as time goes on. I think they will.
Yeah, where would you like it? Where would you like the limits to be for someone who's been fully vaccinated?
Where would I like them to be?
Yeah.
Where I, you know, it's hard for me to advocate more than what the CDC is willing. But
right.
I think this is going to change, because as we get closer, I told you before the break, we're about 2/3 between vaccinated and getting the actual illness. 2/3 of adults are already there, so we're getting close. I think by late spring, early summer, we'll be at herd immunity, and then it's going to change so much what the CDC will tell us we all can do safely.
Getting rid of the masks by summer, a realistic expectation? I mean, the masks are just brutal in the heat of a Florida summer.
I'm sure hoping. It seems to me, unless there are any new variants, that's the limiting factor. And that's why I'm urging my patients who ask me, unless they have any history of anaphylaxis, talk to an allergist to get the vaccine, because the sooner we all get vaccinated and we get to herd immunity, the likelihood of these variants go away. And that's the only thing, the unknown variants that appear, that's getting in the way of us getting these masks off by that time frame that you mentioned, Bud.
We'd like to bring our listeners into the conversation. On the text line, one of our listeners asked this question, relates to that AstraZeneca a vaccine that is moving toward approval here. And the listener says this: ask Dr. Kronhaus about the 17 countries that have stopped giving that vaccine because of people getting blood clots.
Well, yeah, there was that report, and then the equivalent of the FDA in Britain announced that they looked at it and they didn't feel it was due to the vaccine. But I want our FDA to look at it. They haven't yet looked at all the data. They haven't approved it. I wouldn't be thinking right now about the AstraZeneca vaccine. I myself looked at the data for the Johnson & Johnson, Moderna and Pfizer. They made it available to the physicians, what the FDA looked at. We don't have that data yet on AstraZeneca. There's great vaccines out there right now with the other three. We don't have to yet focus on AstraZeneca. A decision doesn't need to be made because it's not even been approved by the FDA. So we're away from even thinking about it. Think about the other three. In my humble opinion, what I'm telling my patients, if you have availability of either one of those three, I would take it. And even the Johnson & Johnson people are quoting lesser effectiveness. It's in study right now to give a second dose of the Johnson & Johnson. So that Johnson & Johnson may actually come up to the Pfizer and Moderna. And again, it's comparing apple to orange because they were not studied in the same time frame with the same variants out there or the same level of illness.
All right, Doc. Dr. Ken Kronhaus, thanks so much. You've updated us on various aspects of the coronavirus, and we do appreciate it.
We're so close, but don't drop your guard yet. The mask, social distancing, keeping the hands clean and off the face. We are so close to being over this, and the sooner we all get vaccinated, the sooner we'll get our lives back. Alan, Bud, you be well. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you. Doc on his way to save lives at Lake Cardiology. Give him a call if you want the best in heart care. And talk to this man about anything health and medical related, because he's reading on it all the time. I'm going to turn it back to Alan right now to get us up to date on the news as we approach the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour.
A spring break tragedy in Miami Beach and a new attraction in Daytona Beach. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together. And elsewhere, in just 2 minutes, it's 8:29 on Good Morning Orlando.
In the news, lots of stories about the chaos at Spring Break 2021 in Miami Beach, and now a tragedy making news from South Florida.
That's right, Bud. We have a woman dead, two suspects behind bars in Miami Beach, as Al Lewis reports.
A 24-year-old woman is dead, allegedly at the hands of spring breakers Ivor Collier and Dorian Taylor. Police say the pair drugged a 24-year-old woman visiting from Pennsylvania, raped her, and left her for dead. Paramedics found her semi-nude body in a South Beach hotel room. Cops say the suspects went on a spending spree with the victim's credit card, and prosecutors could add a manslaughter or murder charge against the suspects if the investigation determines the drug they're accused of giving the victim turns out to have played a role in her death. Al Lewis, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Three Polk County deputies are exchanging their badges for handcuffs in an evidence tampering scandal. Sheriff Grady Judd says last December, the deputies stopped a car and found drugs and more than $700 in cash, but did not turn in the money.
All they had to do was go to their sergeant and say, we lost the money, we dropped the money, whatever.
Instead, Judd says they tried to cover up the loss of the money. The sheriff found out when a suspect asked for her money back. Now he's reviewing all cases involving money handled by former deputies John Rosinski, Jamel Lawson, and Garrett Cook. You might soon be able to buy alcohol in Brevard County, no matter what time the day of day it is. Today, the County Commission will discuss a proposal to allow bars and restaurants to sell alcohol 24 hours a day in unincorporated Brevard. Daytona Beach is home to a huge new convenience store and gas station. Bucky's, home of the Beaver Nuggets, is located at I-95 and LPGA Boulevard. Governor Ron DeSantis was on hand for the grand opening and, standing in front of a giant inflatable beaver, said he's a huge fan of Bucky's.
This is really exciting to be here. I must say, I got to tell you, Bucky's, this is like the Shangri-La of service stations.
And this is Florida's second Bucky's. The first location opened last month in St. Augustine. NASA is preparing to make history by flying a helicopter on Mars. It was tucked away on the Perseverance rover that landed on the red planet last month. NASA will give an update later this morning to outline where that helicopter could possibly explore. WFLA News Time is 8:34. Elsewhere. Another music star is about to do a residency in Las Vegas. Katy Perry is reportedly heading to Sin City. Billboard reports she is set to have a year-long residency at the soon-to-open The Theater at Resorts World. The report says she'll perform two nights a week for 4 months, starting at the end of this year. Any guesses as to how much she'll be paid for that? Again, it's two nights a week for 4 months for Katy Perry.
$40 million.
No. Guess again.
$4 million.
No. You were going the right direction before.
$50 million.
Nope.
$50 million
what?
And one.
Keep going.
$100 million.
More.
$200 million.
Lower.
And that's my oh.
Lower.
$150 million.
Close.
Okay.
All right, this is bad now.
Yeah,
Katy Perry will be paid for working two nights a week for 4 months, $168 million.
That's nothing.
How do they get that money back? How is that anything other than a loss? That's incredible.
Ticket prices, bud.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Well, ticket prices,
gonna,
concessions.
They're not going to make it on tickets alone to the shows, I would think. But I think this is a new venue, and I think they're looking for the publicity and the luster of having a superstar perform there.
It's all part of their 5-year business plan, bud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two nights a week. Unbelievable.
It's nice work.
You're
if
rocking
you can
my
get
world
it.
Here, Alan.
Yeah. Hey, exciting news for Game of Thrones fans. The story isn't over. In fact, the story's just beginning. HBO is reportedly working on three more prequel
projects for Game of Thrones. One is called Nine Voyages and follows the Sea Snake. The second revolves around Princess Nymeria 1,000 years earlier. And the last is set in Flea Bottom, the King's Landing slum featured in the original show. No word when any of those will debut, but the House of Dragon prequel, which we already knew about, is due out next year.
You guys into that?
Nope.
King of Thrones? Never talked to you about that, Chris.
Nope, not a Game of Thrones guy.
Nope. Watched the first season. They took so long to get back around to the second one. I lost interest and just, and then I got right HBO.
That's one of those things that, you know, it's very popular, and many members of my family were hooked on it. And yeah, it's like, you feel like if you don't watch the first few episodes, you know, catching up is almost impossible. And then it's like, why bother?
And then when it went to the four different castles and everything, it just got so confusing and convoluted, you know. And then 6 months, and then they're going to give you another episode. It's like, ugh.
Well,
I got to tell you, I could almost be in it for the music, Alan. Love the theme song.
I know you do. And I almost played it just for that reason, bud. And finally, this Saturday, an Illinois man will look to break the world record for most push-ups in an hour.
Push it. Push it real good. Push it. Push it good.
George Hood is no stranger to world records. He holds about a half dozen other fitness records, including longest plank and longest time doing stationary cycling. On Saturday, he will host an outdoor event in Boca Raton, not only to attempt the record, but to raise money for the Wounded Veterans Relief Fund. The record George is trying to break is 2,919 push-ups in 1 hour. That means he'll need to average roughly 50 push-ups per minute to achieve the record.
Yeah, my shoulders hurt just thinking about that. That's, not going to happen.
That's like a little bit more than a second to push-up, and he does it for an hour?
Yeah, wow. You know, personally, I'd rather just dance.
Push it.
Push it.
Push it real good.
Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com and listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Yeah, just look for Elsewhere.
Elsewhere.
With Alan Spector.
Thanks, Alan. As Biden completely lost control of the southern border, more than ever, the answer is an obvious and foreboding yes. More in a moment after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines right now, and we're talking about it with you in just a moment. The Border Patrol running into more and more of those large groups of migrants in South Texas coming up from Central America through Mexico. Agents say they encountered three groups of more than 100 over the weekend, most of whom were family members and unaccompanied migrant children. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories throughout the morning for you on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
Focusing on the Biden southern border crisis of his own making here, because he was so relentlessly committed in his loathing for Donald Trump to undoing every Trump policy he possibly could as fast as he could. And he began more earnestly and more passionately than on any other issue with the situation on the southern border. Instantly, upon taking office, stopped construction of the Trump wall that was working. Has changed almost every policy, has put out the word that the border essentially is open. He may say, don't come now, but the message is, don't worry, get here, and we'll find a way to get you in and keep you here forever. And the folks in Central America know what the story is with Joe Biden. They remember him during the campaign. They know that Harris, who's likely to be the next president of the United States, maybe sooner rather than later, the way Biden is going, is even more liberal on these matters than Biden. And they are certainly different from Donald Trump, who wanted control of the border, who recognized this is a sovereign nation, and we're a nation of laws, and we've got a legal way to immigrate into this country. But the illegal way is not going to be tolerated. not that way with Biden and the Democrats. They've created a magnet now that they are not able to turn off, and they don't want to turn it off either. And now the cover has been blown by a Democrat of all people, Texas border area Congressman Henry Cuellar. He put out some photos of these facilities where these kids are being held, and the Biden administration won't let the media cover it so we can't see it and how outraged we would be because it is worse than anything we've ever seen before. He put out the photos to Axios.com, and they are just horrendous. No social distancing. I mean, these kids are packed into their far exceeding capacity. It's an absolute nightmare, and it is of Biden's making. And a Democrat has blown the cover, and the crisis deepens. Here is Fox News White House correspondent Peter Ducey getting into it yesterday with White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki over these newly released photos of migrants on the border packed into these holding facilities.
We're closely following the CDC guidelines. That's why we're opening up additional facilities, why they've been at limited capacity in a number of these shelters.
But if I may, I don't know that there are CDC guidelines that say you can be open.
Apologies, I was misunderstanding your question. Yes. Look, I think our objective is to move. This is one of the reasons this is such a focus every single day for the president and this administration. We want to move these kids as quickly as possible through these facilities and into the shelters where there is safe spacing, and then move them into homes where there is safe spacing. And we are concerned about the public health impact. That's why we're putting in place a number of policies to expedite these processes.
Here's Trump weighing in on Biden's border crisis.
You have a lot of very bad people coming into our country, and they're doing nothing about it. They're going to be released, or they're already being released. Yesterday, they announced that they're just going to let them go into the country. No courts, no nothing. It's crazy.
And then there was, I thought, one of the best openings to a Tucker Carlson show at 8 o'clock last night on Fox that I have ever seen. And we're grabbing an excerpt of sound for you if you didn't catch it last night. We know what the end game is with the Democrats, is to get all the illegals into the country that you possibly can. Who cares about COVID? Who cares about anything? Who cares about the cost to this society? Turn them into citizens over time and permanent Democrat votes, okay? And if you look at the numbers, what they are and where they are clearly headed, Tucker had a compelling minute or so that we're going to share with you now last night on where this is leading us.
Just last month, U.S. Customs and Border Protection apprehended 100,000 illegal migrants in California, New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas. But some DHS officials believe that number will soon double to 200,000 a month moving illegally into this country. Now, the overwhelming majority of these foreign nationals will remain here permanently. If the Democratic Party has its way, they will become citizens and registered voters. These numbers are enormous. It's hard to comprehend just how big. We've never seen demographic change like this. It's roughly the equivalent of a brand new city of Chicago every year, a city populated entirely by poor people with limited education who can't speak English. Now, you're not supposed to say any of that, but so what? It's true. And the question is, how is it good for America?
Kudos to Tucker last night. It'll take a lot of heat for that. He's asking exactly the right questions. Think about those numbers and think about how is that good for America. I think ultimately, except for the left wing of the Democrat Party that is now pulling Joe Biden's strings big time and running the show, across the political spectrum, you will find few in this country, in either party, who will say that that scenario Tucker described, that is imminent and in the making as we speak, is good for America. What do you think? 407-916-5400, text line 23680, add your first name and town if you'd like. Standard message and data rates apply. Going to give you a crack at that on the phones and the text line. We're going to take a short break to regroup, and we'll do all of that and get back with you. Right back with you in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines right now. You don't have your stimulus check yet? Well, more stimulus checks are on the way. The IRS has a new batch of $1,400 payments are going to be hitting bank accounts by tomorrow. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WFLA Orlando.
And by the way, our Double Your Stimulus Money contest continues. Your next opportunity to double your $1,400 with another $1,400 on our keyword contest comes at 10 o'clock this morning. And your next opportunity on Good Morning Orlando comes tomorrow morning. Alan, am I right? Because this is on your watch. You're the guy with the purse strings. O'clock, right?
Let me check.
Check the math, will you?
I have another $1,400 set aside for tomorrow. So yeah, I guess we can do it. Right after the 7 o'clock news, be listening for the keyword. Text to 200-200. You could be winning $1,400 again. Next chance to win with is coming up at 10 o'clock this morning on WFLA. Right. Next chance with us tomorrow right after 7.
Yeah, somebody get him in the loop on this, please.
That's all I know.
Has Joe Biden completely lost control of the southern border? I think it's undeniable. Absolutely, they have. And I think, you know, they do want more illegals in this country for the reasons that we cited, and Tucker Carlson and I are on the same wavelength here, and this is not new, that they want to turn them into citizens, and they want to then turn them into permanent Democrat votes, and rendering the Republican Party permanently non-competitive and a minority party so they can have this country and their liberal socialist agenda and have it forever. That's the long-term game plan, but I think it has gotten away from them. I think they didn't realize what a strong magnet they had created that they now are powerless, even if they wanted to turn off. The only solution, Alan, and you and I discussed this earlier this morning, is to go back to the Trump policies. It's hard to imagine, because those worked, that Joe Biden would ever eat enough political crow to do that.
Yeah, I can't imagine it either. However, you know, I regret that there seems to be a lack of transparency where they've been trying to cover up pictures and footage from what's going on at the border. And we had these pictures released by Congressman Cuellar yesterday. They kind of exposed some of the stuff that's going on, the Democrat from Texas. And
you think when you saw those shots, Alan? I was disturbed by them. And I know there have been, you know, versions of that with other administrations. And the problem on the border is not new.
Yeah.
But that was disturbing.
Yeah. What I hate about that is, while it was disturbing, it was not surprising, given what we've seen before. Right. And I would like to see the Biden administration admit things are not working and tell us what they're going to do to fix it. Now, they might go back to something similar to what Trump was doing, but they won't give him credit or say we're going back to Trump policies.
Well, in some of the policies, it hasn't really ended the 42, the proclamation, whatever that is. But Biden did end some hardline policies at the border because of Trump, and that pathway to citizenship, that's the big problem, my friends. I mean, it really is. Create a humane asylum system, but nobody's actually outlined this new approach to asylum, or even said when it would be unveiled, so people just started coming. And this is not good, right?
Now they're releasing people right into the country with no notice to appear in court.
Is that why we're calling them undocumented?
Undocumented Democrats, as Rush would call them. Mm. The late, great Rush Limbaugh. So we'll have to see, and it'll be very interesting because they have committed to the first solo press conference with President Biden, and you know this is going to be issue number one, and it's going to dominate, and that is still set for this Thursday afternoon. I don't know the time specific, but with President Biden with his first solo news conference, and they're going to be coming for him here unless they are able to manage this in a way that they don't expose him to hostile questioning, and I'm not sure that the media is going to tolerate that. I guarantee you that Peter Doocy at Fox News is not going to tolerate that. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and, you know, I think this does present a problem for Joe Biden with Democrats, as you alluded to earlier this morning, Bud. It may sit well with those toward the left in the party, but those with more moderate positions probably are not happy with what they're seeing at the border right now.
No, I absolutely agree. And we will continue to follow that story. We want to thank Dr. Ken Kronhaus for coming on here. And Alan, we covered a lot of ground with him in the 8 to 8:30 half hour on all things related to the coronavirus. He was passionate about people hanging tough right now, even though we've got COVID-19 fatigue and the whole thing. You know, wearing the mask, social distancing, and all of this so we can get that herd immunity and get this thing behind us.
Yeah, and he doesn't understand the resistance to the vaccines. He says, this is the only way we're going to get this thing licked.
Yep. And Melissa, if folks want to catch it, they can catch it on the podcast, right? And how do they do that?
Well, just go to our iHeartRadio app. Your iHeartRadio, search for News Radio WFLA, follow us, and then every time our podcast comes up each day, boom, you get a notification. It's that simple.
Bingo. And congratulations to the Florida State Seminoles in Sweet 16 of March Madness. Chris said they'd get that far, but maybe no further. They'll be playing Michigan this weekend. From all of us, have a great day. Catch you tomorrow morning. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America.